This is The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour 3 is underway. Big Show rolls on your Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget that coming up in Flames Talk, be listening. It's been the case all month long. Listen for the Spiciest Moment contest on Flames Talk. Flames Spiciest Moment is brought to you by Bacardi Spiced Rum. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. Just one game on the NHL schedule this evening. That'll be front focus, I am sure, as lots happening in the sports world. Some news from the NFL as well to catch us up on all we need to know. We hand the floor and the microphone to Logan Gordon with today's headlines.
All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
NHL playoffs tonight, Will, with just the one game, as you mentioned. The St. Louis Blues in Colorado to take on the Avalanche in Game 5, where the Avs will try to advance to the Western Conference Final for the first time in 20 years. When they host the Blues at Ball Arena tonight. Colorado has not gotten past the second round of the playoffs since 2001-2002, when they would lose to the Detroit Red Wings in seven games in the conference final. Nazem Kadri had his first Stanley Cup playoff hat trick, while Darcy Kemper made 17 saves to help Colorado defeat St. Louis 6-3 in Game 4 on Monday. The Avs know that the Blues are going to push to do everything they can and try to get this one back to St. Louis for Game 6. The Blues, speaking to the media today, though, will feel like they probably put too much attention onto Nazem Kadri and what happened with Jordan Binnington last game. Here's Braden Schenn and head coach Craig Berube talking about the team's focus ahead of Game 5.
The play happened. Obviously, the emotions are high. People are frustrated. It is what it is. And now we have to focus on winning a hockey game. I know we said that before last game, but that's obviously where attention has to turn. He had a good game last game. And we can't go out there and just worry about him and worry about winning a hockey game.
Well, I don't really think that going into the game our guys were overly concerned with getting redemption on him. I know Schenn tried to fight him early on in the game, and I thought it was over, and then the Perron and him mix up, they kind of went at a little bit, and we ended up on the wrong side of it for sure. But I think that going into there, our focus was on winning the hockey game. We didn't play very well. I mean, that's a very good team over there. They got a lot of good players. Nazem Kadri's a real good hockey player. And they got a bunch of guys, and he showed that the other night. We got to play better.
Not worrying about Kadri, Will. Simply just need to play better and focus on the game tonight. We'll see if they can do that and avoid elimination in Game 5 tonight.
Yeah, and I think that, focusing on their game, I don't want to say it was maybe something they got away from in Game 4, but it felt like there was a bit of an agenda to go after Nazem Kadri. I know they jumped out to a 1-0 lead in that game, but some other undisciplined play put the Avalanche on the power play and led to the Avs grabbing a 4-1 lead. They were able to crawl back and make it 4-3, but ultimately lost the game 6-3. And I just think they need to focus on playing hockey and not worry about the extracurricular stuff. And yeah, it is unfortunate the Nazem Kadri collision happened, but it's not the only reason you're down 3-1. You've been outplayed by the Colorado Avalanche, and we just talked to Cabbie about it. Yeah, it has not been a great performance from Billy Husso. As a result, he's allowed 4 more in every appearance so far in this round. But, this is a situation where if the Blues can focus on being better in front of Billy Husso, it'll allow them to at least be in the hockey game. And I don't like their chances. I'm certainly leaning Avalanche, but yeah, if they can get away from some of that extracurricular stuff and worry about playing, yeah, it sucks that Nazem Kadri got you, but you know what? Don't let them get you on the scoreboard again here in game number 5. That's got to be the focus for them, and you've said it a lot already today, Logan, and I'm sure that's your feel going into this game tonight. It's just that it's a veteran group, a Stanley Cup winning group. I think they'll be focused and ready to rock tonight. Should be a fun one, but I am leaning Avalanche.
Only game on the Stanley Cup schedule tonight. It goes at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet and CBC. Blues at Avalanche. Game number 5. Avs lead the series 3-1 off the ice. Will, a couple of stories to get to, including one that just came down moments ago. The Washington Capitals announcing that forward Tom Wilson underwent successful knee surgery to repair a torn ACL. He's going to miss 6 to 8 months, the team announced. He suffered that injury in game one of their first round matchup against the Florida Panthers. So that's going to put him late into the season this upcoming year before he's ready to rejoin the Washington Capitals. And speaking of the Florida Panthers, locker cleanout room today for them. Joe Thornton, of course, asked about what his future might be. Said that after completing his 24th season in the NHL, his first with the Panthers, said he's uncertain and undecided on his playing future. Would come in just play over 5 minutes in game four for that Florida Panthers team that would wind up being swept by Tampa Bay. Will, was a bigger part of the Panthers before they made all their trade deadline acquisitions that sort of pushed Thornton down the depth chart and out of the lineup, but doesn't sound as though, as of today at least, the Joe's ready to hang up the skates.
He's always kind of been non-committal at the end of season media address. You even go back to his time with San Jose, you know, prior to the pandemic in 2020 when the pandemic hit. Of course, he went over to Switzerland to at least play and skate a little bit, and then played the shortened season with the Maple Leafs. I don't know how to feel about it. I know that Joe Thornton loves the game. I think he can still be effective. He certainly doesn't have the foot speed he once did, but always has the vision and the elite vision to allow him to have well over 1,000 assists in his career. If I was a betting man, I would say he plays somewhere. I just don't know if it's the NHL. Like, I think that he loves the game so much he doesn't want to leave it, but I think there's always been a thought that he finishes his career in Davos, in Switzerland. I think that might be the move next year. I mean, he's going to be 43 in July. I know we've seen a couple of players in the last handful of years play well into their 40s, including Zdeno Chara this season. But I just think at this point, I'm pretty sure Joe Thornton's going to be ready to, you know, not stop playing hockey. I just don't know if the NHL's in the books for him next year, which is too bad. I mean, I think a lot of people wanted to see him hoist the cup, wanted to have a Ray Bourque-type moment with the Florida Panthers this year. Didn't end up going that way. You're right. The deadline acquisitions kind of pushed him down the depth chart. Did play 34 games this season. Had 10 points in those 34 games. And I think he'll always have that vision, Logan. I just don't know if he wants to put his body through another 82-game NHL season, all the travel. Certainly in Florida, there is quite a bit of it. And, you know, again, you never want to bet because Thornton's a guy that, you know, if he could, he'd play till he's 60. That's how much he loves it. But just feels like maybe it's time we go see him play the last couple of years in Switzerland. But certainly will be a story I'm watching as we head into the off season.
Moving from hockey to football, a pair of NFL stories to watch today. This news just coming down in the last few moments from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick set to work out for the Las Vegas Raiders today. His last NFL appearance came back in 2016, so potentially a way for Kaepernick back into the NFL as perhaps Derek Carr's backup quarterback. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have announced their new general manager. It will be Omar Khan, promoted from Vice President of Football and Business Administration to general manager. This is a guy that knows the organization well. Will, Omar Khan has been with the Steelers since 2001. He will succeed retiring GM Kevin Colbert, who has been the GM and heading Pittsburgh's front offense since 2000. Steelers President Art Rooney II saying in a statement, quote, "Omar has been an integral part of our football operations department during his 21 years with the team, and that experience will serve him well in his new position." The Steelers are reportedly set to hire Eagles Vice President of Player Personnel Andy Weidel as his assistant GM. They were among the six candidates who received second interviews for the openings. Pro scouting coordinator and a couple of other GMs, former GMs from around the league, were also in consideration, Will. The Steelers have proved to be one of the most consistent NFL franchises since former GM Kevin Colbert took over. 10 division titles, 3 Super Bowl appearances, winning twice since that time in 2000. They decided to go with the in-house candidate who knows the organization pretty well.
Yeah, and looking at just people who cover the NFL on a daily basis, including our NFL insider, Jason Lacanfora, this is not surprising. It's a guy who, you know, well-deserved on a promotion like this. And, you know, for an organization like Pittsburgh, who is one of the best at promoting from within, from developing their own, this is kind of that perfect fit. And I think Omar Khan is going to do a fabulous job in the GM chair. And as you mentioned, 2001, it's pretty insane to think about the fact that he's been there 21 years and now he'll be their GM. It seems to make a lot of sense. I mean, you look at this organization, you know, in everything they do, whether it's front office or on the field, this is a team that loves their own people. And, you know, they've only had three coaches in their history as well. So, certainly is not surprising, and I think they'll be in just fine hands with Omar Khan taking over as GM.
Moving to baseball, it's an off day today for the Toronto Blue Jays after finishing off a big win against the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday. 8-1 the final score. They will start a series tomorrow in Los Angeles against the Angels. Busy slate of games across the majors today, though, Will. We already have one game that's gone final. The Pirates down the Rockies by a 10-5 score, currently going on right now. Dodgers, Nationals, A's, Mariners, Brewers, Padres, all in the first inning and all scoreless. You have the Giants up 5-0 on the Mets, bottom second, and we're through 7 in Minneapolis. The Twins out to a 2-1 lead over the Detroit Tigers. Still to come today, those Angels, who the Jays will play tomorrow, taking on the Rangers at 7:38. That's your late game on the schedule today. Another busy one across the majors.
Yeah, the Blue Jays not in action. It was nice to see them getting the bats going yesterday.
Yeah, Danny Jansen,
a couple of home runs. They scored 8 runs in that 8-1 victory over the St. Louis
Vladdy
Cardinals.
Vladdy murdered a baseball for the first time in a while.
Couldn't believe it. I mean, you talk about the struggles. This is his first home run since May 5th.
It's a long time for that guy.
Oh, so maybe some confidence brewing into the weekend series. It'll be Shohei Ohtani on the mound tomorrow. Kind of must-see television tomorrow for the Blue Jays. They'll be in Anaheim to face the LA Angels of Anaheim and the beginning of that weekend series. And it's a 4-game set. The Angels are having a great start to the year. It's so early still, but I know every baseball fan, you could be a diehard or a very outside baseball fan who watches just maybe playoffs and the odd game here or there. Everyone wants to see the Angels, and specifically Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout in October and in playoffs. It's been a pretty good start for them, and should be a lot of fun this weekend to watch those two teams go at it, and we'll see if any confidence from that 8-run outburst yesterday in St. Louis carries over for the Blue Jays. And fantasy baseball, well in full swing. If that's your speed, today's a busy one on a fantasy baseball perspective as well.
Move to basketball. NBA playoffs continuing in Miami. The Heat looking to bounce back against the Celtics in Game 5 tonight from FTX Arena in Miami. The Heat got trounced in Game number 4 of this series. Boston with a 102-82 win just the other night. Series shifting back to Miami for Game 5. It's now a best-of-3 series as this is tied at 2 games apiece. It's a 6:30 tip-off on Sportsnet 1. I guess the good news for both of these teams, Will, is that the Mavericks were able to stave off a sweep from the Warriors, as this one looks like it's destined for at least 6, maybe even 7 games.
Yeah, I don't know if 7, but certainly feels like maybe there's a chance for a 6th game. Give the Mavs a lot of credit. I mean, that's not an easy spot to be in. Down 3 games to none. Luka could not miss from behind the arc, it felt like, yesterday. And that Mavericks team with a much-needed victory, obviously, down 3 games to none. And I would like to see it go 6 or 7. Just felt like they've been overmatched in all 4 games of the series, except for Game 4. So I don't know if I'm expecting a game 6 or 7 in the Warriors and Mavericks series. But yeah, it was a nice step in the right direction for the Mavericks, a team that I think for a lot of people has had a very surprising run to the Eastern Conference Final. To see them win by 10 was nice. As for tonight, sounds like there's a bit of a situation with the Miami Heat and COVID, but it doesn't sound like it's any players, just some of their members of maybe the front office still left after what, you know, couple of people had tested positive for COVID. Again, very murky situation, but certainly with a 2-2 series tie. And I wouldn't say it decides it, but this is a big game. Usually teams that win when the series is tied at 2 go on to win the series. Pretty fun one tonight on Sportsnet at 6:30.
Sportsnet 1, your home for Celtics Heat tonight, 6:30 tip-off from Miami. And still nothing to report when it comes to the CFL and labor discussions between the Players Association and the league, Will. Sounds as though the league has made their final offer and will not come off of it. We're supposed to be playing football games as of Friday. Preseason set to get underway in a couple of different spots. Stampeders canceled practice today, told it was not due to the ongoing labor negotiations. They're expected to practice tomorrow morning. But as of right now, we talked to John Hodge from Three Down Nation yesterday. CFL pretty firm in their stance that they have offered the best deal possible for players. But as we speak right now, on this Wednesday afternoon, no progress on either side when it comes to getting that deal done and having games played this weekend.
Yeah, Dave Naylor, TSN, tweeting about 3 hours ago that the scenario brewing, it certainly is a bad one for an on-time start to the season. If the CFLPA leadership decides they won't put league's proposal to a vote because it reduces 7 Canadian starters to 6, and if the league won't move off 6, well, we can all just go home. And it certainly feels, Logan, that the ratio is the biggest holdup here on a new CBA. It was the primary reason the first proposal didn't go through. Certainly feels like the league is not moving off their stance. The players are going to support their Canadian brethren, and they want to go with 7, keep it the same. It looks pretty ugly right now, and it's really unfortunate. And we talked about this with John yesterday. A league that kind of had some momentum going feels like it's all gone now. And for the first time in 3 years, a chance to start the season on time and have no holdups. It's looking very, very murky right now as we're just a couple of days away from a potential opening of preseason action.
There you go, your Wednesday edition of headlines.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Did you mention the Colin Kaepernick news?
I did.
What do you think of that?
I mean, if he can prove that he's physically able and still talented enough to play in the league, I have no problem with it. I think that whole thing became a giant story that got blown way out of proportion. And I think, as we talked about off air when the news came down, I think if there's a way for Colin to come back into the league, this makes a lot of sense to me. The situation in Las Vegas, that is, as I don't think a guy, you know, off of the street from 2016 should be in the running for, and that's not Colin Kaepernick exclusively, anybody is going to be in the conversation when it comes to a starting quarterback role. But if he wants to make his way back into the NFL as a competent backup to Derek Carr in a place that he can be evaluated fairly and not be the biggest story day in, day out, then I think that he's got every reason, and the Raiders have no reason not to try him out. You're always looking for options at quarterback, and I don't have any reason why Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be considered.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think if he goes in and shows well in the workout, then why wouldn't you sign him? Now, as for the fact if the workout doesn't go well, I'm not just giving him the spot, but if he proves he can play in the workout, then I don't see why it's a big problem that he goes to training camp and continues to try and prove himself with the Las Vegas Raiders, but certainly do not just want to give him a roster spot for the sake of giving him a roster spot, and I think you're on the same page there.
100%. Got to earn it still. It's not a publicity stunt or anything. If you're going to bring him in because he's a competent quarterback and improves your team. That's the end of this conversation for me.
Game 5 goes tomorrow. The red lot is back open for the Calgary Flames. That'll do it for headlines on your Wednesday. Puck drops 7:30 tomorrow, 5:30. The doors open to the red lot. Tickets are free, but they must be secured in advance, and they're available strictly on a capacity limit, as those without tickets will not be permitted to the entrance of the red lot under any circumstances and are asked not to come to the site. Of course, with being a home game day, It's going to be even more crowded in that parking lot. So if you do not have tickets to the Red Lot, please do not go to the Red Lot. Tickets for the Game 5 Red Lot viewing party are available tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. You can get them at Ticketmaster. Go to the Calgary Flames website. That'll redirect you if you can't go to the Ticketmaster site directly. Red Lot tickets have no cash value and are non-transferable. So if you try to sell them and send them to somebody, they won't be allowed in. So ticket to the Flames game will also not provide access to the Red Lot. We had a couple people text that in, Logan, earlier on in the series and in the playoffs. I want to make that perfectly clear. A ticket to the Flames game will not give you access to Red Lot. Now, if you want to go at 9 a.m. and get tickets to the Red Lot tomorrow ahead of the game, sure. But ticket to the game will not get you automatic entry to the Red Lot because of capacity limits. He's Logan. I'm Will. That'll do it for headlines. That'll do it for segment number one. Be listening later on in Flames Talk. The boys will take over at the top of the hour. Be listening in for the Spiciest Moment Contest. It's all brought to you by Bacardi Spice Rum. We'll take a break, come back, close out the show next with some more NHL conversation, plus some baseball conversation, and your texts. We had some texts early in the show. Flames, Oilers, your thoughts, how you feeling heading into Game 5. We'll read some of those at 960-960 as we continue on The Big Show on your Wednesday, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Now, back to The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Continuing along, hour number three of The Big Show is live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's the day between games for the Flames and the Oilers. Your thoughts at 960-960. We'll read some of those as this segment continues. We had a lot earlier on in the program, and we'll get a bunch here, I'm sure. As curious your thoughts ahead of Game 5. Flames officially on the ropes. They're down 3-1 against the Oilers, but returning home for Game 5 tomorrow night. He's Logan. I'm Will. It's been 4 games, Logan. I know the series is 3-1. It was 31 years, the first Battle of Alberta in the playoffs that we've witnessed. But through 4 games, has it lived up to the hype? What have you thought? I know we built up so much going into the series, and we talked about this even ahead of Game 1. You know, is there a danger of building it up too much? I mean, where do you sit after 4 games, and how has the Battle of Alberta, you know, lived up to where you had your expectations?
Well, that's an interesting thought. I think it's lived up to my expectations in certain ways and probably gone under my expectations in other ways. I think I expected more physicality from both sides. I expected, given some of the names we have on both sides, that we were going to see a bit of a nastier series. Now, a couple of these games have gone, you know, pretty one-sided, so it's hard, I understand, to build up that emotion and to have that sort of play happen when that's going on. But I would say that surprised me. The games have all been, in my mind, very entertaining. Like, as far as anyone who said the first round was boring, it wasn't. But, you know, if the pace has been great, there's been plenty of goals, plenty of things going on that I think have been great for hockey fans. I've enjoyed the series. Would have been nice if the Flames can extend it a bit and, you know, get to 6 or 7. It'd be really great for the Battle of Alberta. But I don't know if it's been fun. I can't say that it's again, because when we were going into this, I had no idea what this was going to be, because it, like we've talked about, between now and 31 years ago, it's so hard to compare. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe some of the things I expected to happen haven't happened in the ways I thought they would. And in other ways, it's been a bit surprising that maybe it wasn't a more even series, but I've enjoyed every bit of it. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's been a mismatch. I know it's 3-1 for the Oilers, but, you know, really outside of Game 3, it hasn't been a massive dominance from either side. I think Game 1 was a weird one that you're probably never going to see again. That was a legitimate unicorn in the playoffs. Game 2, the Flames, I thought, started well, but weren't able to hang on or finish things off. And then Game 3, It was just Oilers from start to finish. I didn't think Calgary was ready. I felt like, even to Daryl Sutter's point in the post game, I felt like they were shell-shocked a little bit from the atmosphere, from everything going on. And then game four, it wasn't an ideal start, but once things settled down, I thought Calgary might have played their best game of the series. And yeah, it's unfortunate it's 3-1. I think it might lead to some anxiousness in the building heading into puck drop tomorrow. It would be certainly a much more intense atmosphere or an intense feeling and a buzz in this city ahead if it was a 2-2 series tie. That's why I'd love to see it go six at least. But yeah, the way things are at right now in terms of expectations, the one I probably on the same page as you is, I just wondered if we maybe would have seen some more hatred between the two sides. And I don't think we've seen a lot of that through four games.
No, I mean, you've seen maybe game one was the most. And since then, it's kind of leveled off.
As the text line says, biggest hit in the series was the two Oilers. A little Oiler action.
How about that?
And then Cassian after was like, ooh, in the hallway, and he's like, oh. Definitely got the worst of it.
Yeah, that's a definite visit to the quiet room when your teammate rocks you that hard. That was a major collision between what are those navy and orange jerseys. Just a total side note, because I'm a jersey nerd. I hate those jerseys.
They suck.
You have...
That's not even their primary logo.
No!
Which makes it even worse.
And some people will disagree with this because we're in Calgary. I think the Oilers have one of the best iconic looks. I think the Flames and Oilers can legitimately say that they're some of the older classic jerseys they have are some of the best. The Flames made a great decision going to the set they have now. And the Oilers going to this navy orange Halloween looking thing sucks. I'm sorry. The classic royal blue with the orange trim on the, to me, that's the Edmonton Oilers. Not that this has anything to do with anything, but I just thought, I'm like, why was this the decision? Why was that the jersey to go with all playoff long?
It was a bit of a head scratcher for me. I will say one thing though, it beats the orange.
The royal blue is what I'm talking.
Yeah,
that to
the
me,
old school
with the orange trim. That to me is Edmonton Oilers classic colors. Not the orange one. The orange one's an eyesore. This one just not any. Again, it's nothing to anybody but me because I'm a nerd like that. But just a weird choice for that.
Here we go. 960-960. Some of your texts and your thoughts heading into game five with the Flames and the Oilers. This one says, I'm feeling pretty solid they can get a W tomorrow. I believe they're playing better, and I'm hoping they can put in a solid effort tomorrow and build momentum going forward. It's actually scary to think what would happen to this team if they lose tomorrow. I think to the team. I think there was an S there that's not supposed to be there. To the team, if they lose tomorrow, we know changes are inevitable every offseason, but with so many uncertainties and contracts up, this is the team that we are all hoping they can do some damage. It's not over until it's over, so let's see how this thing plays out. Go Flames, go. Biggest hit in the series was the two Oilers last night. We read that one already. For me, I'm just not seeing the effort from the Flames, giving away the puck and not out-hustling the Oilers. It's okay to dump and chase, but win the chase. The Flames have been so sloppy. For me, neither team looks like a contender. I don't know about the last part. I think it's always hard to compare series to series, and we don't know how an Oilers or a Flames team would do if they were to advance and face an Avalanche or a Blues. You really don't know.
No.
And you don't even know how they're going to play against the East until you get to that point. So that's always a hard one for me. But the one thing I 1,000% agree on, and I saw it a lot last night, and again, the third period is maybe the one where it changed a little bit. But especially that second period, it was, 9 minutes before they got their first shot on net, and they were lucky to score the two in quick succession thanks to the power play that kind of fueled it all, and where Lindholm waited and waited and waited and shot it. But I've noticed that for a lot of this series, it just feels like they lose every puck race.
The Oilers have definitely upped the speed level in this.
Yeah, they just seem like they're slower, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because Daryl talks about pace. He doesn't use the word speed. He uses the word pace. And there hasn't been a lot of pace to the Flames game. It's been more on the Oilers side of things. And I think that it's interesting because the Oilers are kind of doing a bit what the Flames want to do when they're at their best. and it's play with that pace, quick passes that are going stick to stick, that, you know, have an intended target, intended purpose. And it's kind of come back on the Flames in this series, because I definitely see the Oilers doing more of that than the Flames. And it's not all about speed. Yes, Connor McDavid's a whirlwind, but it's a lot of it is how quickly you break out, your decisions with the puck, where that puck goes, you know, making the right decisions in a quick period of time, that I think defines pace more than just simply speed. And I think the Oilers have played with more pace in this series than the Flames have, and they haven't reacted great to that sometimes.
No, they really haven't, and we'll see if it's any different, because, you know, a lot of people, some people have said this even on the text line, in terms of the regular season and the playoffs, and one of the biggest difference is that pace to exactly what you're talking about. Pretty sure the Oilers don't care what their jerseys look like. They're leading the series 3-1. Didn't notice Lucic at all last night, and Markstrom's save percentage during this series is unacceptable.
This one I don't get. Good thing 97 and 29 were pedestrians last night. Draisaitl 3 assists, McDavid with another 2.
Yeah, I don't think McDavid wasn't, you know, he didn't have a 5-point night like the other night, but I don't know if they were pedestrian. And I will say this one thing. I don't know if you feel the same way, but going into the series, of course, there was a key injury on both sides. We didn't see Tanev until Game 4 last night, but everyone knows Draisaitl was battling whatever ankle issue he had. I don't know if you see it the same way, Logan, but I feel like Draisaitl's gotten better and that ankle's gotten healthier here. He's looked way better in Games 3 and 4 than he did in Games 1 and 2.
Yeah, he's, and I think that the severity of the injuries is also different. I think that Tanev's is more of a longer term thing that's preventing it. I think Leon's definitely taking it, and I mean, he hasn't skated. Let's be honest, he's only skated during games. He hasn't skated at all.
No morning skates.
So he's not getting in. He wasn't getting in the skates every day and lacing it up. And I think that's made a big difference that he's been able to rest and use it for the 20-25 minutes during the game. He has looked better. I think his ankle's healed up quite well because he's starting to look a little bit more explosive, which is not great. That's not good news for the Flames.
Hey, guys, Cuptown Bob. I don't understand. Cuptown Bob. All right, Cuptown Bob. I believe the Battle of Alberta is just getting started. The Oilers, I can't say the rest on the air. And if the Flames focus on discipline, they will force a 7th game. At that point, it'll be the flip of the coin. That's a very glass half full look. Bob is feeling good about where things are at. I'm not sure there's many that are with him. I don't know if the Oilers have played their best and all of a sudden they're going to drop off. I don't see that myself, but according to Cuptown Bob, that's what he sees.
Yeah, and look, the interesting thing to me in all of this, and I don't want to criticize how anybody looks at a series, but for me, it's exactly what Daryl Sutter said earlier, and I think it's the right mindset. Don't look at, you know, hey, the Flames are coming back in this series, and they're going to make this. Make it one game. Make it simply tomorrow and go from there. That's all you can look at if you're the Flames at this point. And I don't think they're I don't look at this Flames team and say they're dead in the water. They have no chance of coming back. They have to win tomorrow and then simply go from there. I don't think it's I can't sit here and tell you that it's going to be 7. Look, the series isn't done. It could be, but you absolutely have to take it in those 24, 48-hour periods from now on if you're the Flames. You can't be bothered with thinking of what if the series gets to 6, what if the series gets to 7. It's got to be simply focused on tomorrow. Can you get through tomorrow? A game at home. Sutter's got last change. You should have Tanev again. Can you get through that? And then we'll go from there.
My opinion is Smith lost sight of the puck on that third goal because of those ugly Oilers jerseys being the backdrop and the puck blended in. It's not actually a bad take because that blue is so dark. It is hard to see the puck. But, yeah, it was such a weird goal. It's very clear that not only he, but a lot of the players on the ice lost sight of that puck last night.
How about his reaction, though?
Yeah, immediately looking for someone to blame.
Stop that. That is what makes – I'm sorry. And, yes – you come at me with he's been better. He absolutely has been the better goalie in the series, but that is the stuff that drives me nuts about Mike Smith. Yes, is it frustrating? You just gave up an important goal, and it's embarrassing. Put your arms down. Stop looking around for somebody to stare daggers at because you didn't see the puck. It is infuriating to see that kind of body language from your starting goalie. And he I can laugh about it now. Yeah, if you lost the game, man, you would have been ripping your team to shreds. Now, they won. Good. He doesn't have to worry about it. But, man, that body language, it just bothers. It's just one of those things that bothers me. I just don't like the attitude of looking around like
that. Yeah, I don't think you're alone on that one. A couple of texts on Oliver Shillington. Where are you on his play in this series?
He struggled. He's really struggled. The Nugent Hopkins goal. You gotta get a stick on. That's your guy right there.
Even taking a penalty there, you're okay.
100%. Hook him, grab the stick, whatever you gotta do, because that's the only spot that Markstrom has is what he does. And that's to kind of turn his body and get the paddle out. Anything above the paddle from ice level is going in the net. And that's exactly what Shillington's job is with the guy in front of the net, is that if Markstrom gives up a rebound like he did, and it was a tough shot that he fought off, you have to get inside position and box out Nugent Hopkins in that spot. And unfortunately, I think a lot of Oliver's inexperience has come out. I thought he settled down a little bit yesterday with Chris being back there. Still not enough for me, though. He had that one bad turnover in his own zone. He couldn't settle down the puck, and I can't remember who he gave it away to, right from the faceoff dot. He looks jumpy to me. You've made the point, and I think you've tweeted it out too, that when he gets antsy, you can see it because he's on the ice all the time. He gets moving around too much. It kind of looks like he's got two left feet because he kind of trips over himself a lot, and he kind of gets going too fast. He can't keep up with it. Oliver is really best to me when he's playing a simple game. Simple, straightforward, make the decision. I don't want 58 puck handling a lot and looking for a bunch of different options. Make the read, get the puck out, and go. Use your skating when you can. Skate yourself out of trouble. But sometimes I haven't loved him in this series. I really haven't. I don't think he's handled it all that well.
Couple more at 960-960 before the end of the program. You've also mentioned this with Lou earlier today. Sure hope Tkachuk shows up tomorrow. Haven't noticed him much at all the last couple of games. Certainly he had a very good game one, as we know. But yeah, the last two games, it just hasn't been the same Matthew Tkachuk, and that goes for the entire line. I mean, to be honest, Johnny Gaudreau hasn't been the same player the last couple of games. Elias Lindholm's had a really tough series when it comes to goals against. This is the best even strength line in the NHL this season. It hasn't been the same way here in four games against the
Oilers. Last night's not a good enough stat line for number 19 in any way, shape, or form. One shot and one hit, that's not enough. It's just not enough. And the problem is that I have with Matthew Tkachuk, and I don't know if you feel the same way about it or not, is the thing I like about Matthew is he can have, yes, he scored 100 points this year, and it was great to see that, but he can have an effect on the game in other ways. He can be physical. He can be in other guys. You know, he can do things other than putting points on the board that make a difference for your team. To me, he's just, I don't know what the hesitant, I know that, I know he doesn't want to take that extra penalty, and I know that the refs are looking for 19 out of scrums and that sort of stuff, and he has to watch that. And I know he's aware of that. But if he doesn't score and he's not putting up points with the rest of the group, he has to make an impact somewhere else. And that kind of game last night just isn't. And the reason I say that, Will, is because I know he can do it. I have high expectations when it comes to Matthew Tkachuk and the impact he can have. Because we've seen this kid drag his team into games. Pre-Daryl Sutter, when, you know, somebody needed to, because for whatever reason this team had trouble with starts, 19 would drag them into the fight. It's, for me, just not... You can't have a stat line like that in such an important game. I need to see you somewhere in the fabric of the game. He means too much to this team to not have an impact. Kyle Yarncroak, maybe even Dylan Dubé or Trevor, you know, those guys can have some of those nights. I don't think 19 can have those nights for Calgary. And again, I say that and I criticize because I have high expectations for Matthew Tkachuk.
And then this is maybe a good one to end on. Michael Backlund was the best Flame last night, hands down. I said this with Lou a couple of games ago, and nothing has changed for me from the start of the playoffs to now. I know the other guys have way more points, but I'm not even worried about points. Like, for me, Michael Backlund's been the best forward of the Flames all playoff long, and that has been the case in this series. Certainly was the case last night, and I've had no problems with Michael Backlund. I felt like he's been really, you know, for me, maybe not the best, but certainly the better way to put it is the most consistent forward on the Flames all playoff long.
I'd probably say best.
Yeah.
If I was to think about it.
Best and most consistent. Yeah. You can probably use both.
Yeah, I'd say that. He's had more of an offensive impact, and his usual two-way game is still there. So, yeah, I agree. Consistent's a good word for it, but best probably applies too.
Thanks to Cabby Richards. Thanks to Hunter Ryan Singh and Peter Lombardi is joining us on the program today. He's Logan. Enjoy the game tonight, sir.
Yeah, you too. Should be good to see if St. Louis can push this.
6 o'clock, Colorado-St. Louis. We'll also have that game for you on the radio, Sportsnet 960, and, of course, Sportsnet and CBC on television. Azam is our producer. That's the big show for your Wednesday. We're back again tomorrow on a game day. Reminder, the red lot is open 2 hours prior to puck drop. Tickets available at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on the Flames and Ticketmaster website. That'll do it for us. Flames Talk is next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.